Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us. My name is Jenny, the program manager, and I will be facilitating the academic committee meeting. Before we begin, this is a reminder to everyone that the meeting is being recorded, and please make sure to state your name before speaking. Meeting staff, you must state your name and or the role you have within PS. If you are a board member, please just state your name. However, members of the public do not need to save your names if they choose not to. Please be advised that we did not receive a public comment form for this meeting, but we are still open for public comments to those who want to comment. With that said, let's begin. Ms. Gonzalez, can you please call the regular academic committee meeting to order?
Yes, I would like to call the academic committee meeting to order. It is Thursday, February the 8th, 2024, and the time is 5:45 p.m. Welcome all.
Thank you so much. I will go ahead and take attendance. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Elda? Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Thank you. We will move on to the next item, which is approval of the agenda. Can someone make a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for the motion, and for Ms. Gonzalez for second. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion to approve the agenda as presented has passed. Next, we are moving on to public comments. As a reminder, public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker or 6 minutes if the translation is needed. As a reminder, we did not receive a public comment form. However, if you would like to make a public comment, please raise your hand and we will call you in order, whether you're joining in person or via Zoom. Is anyone on the line or in person who would like to provide public comments? Jen, are you raising your hand? Okay. Is there anyone else on the line that like to make a public comment that have raised their hand? I see no public comments. Thank you. So next is approval of the minutes from the regular academic committee meeting that took place on November 9th, 2023. Go ahead.
I would like to have the minutes approved.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Appreciate it. We'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion to approve the minutes from the regular academic committee meeting that took place on November 9th, 2023 has passed. Next item. Before we move on to the next item, is there anyone in the public that would like to make a comment? If you raise your hand on Zoom, I can call on you. If there's no one on here, I will go ahead go to the next section, which is discussion items. Please note that since 2A is a discussion item and there are no actions to be taken, the first item in this section is academic department updates presented by Mr. Irvin Shajar, our deputy superintendent and chief academic officer.
Good evening, board members, Scholar Rubias and Ms. Mangalis. Public attending us, colleagues, my team. So it's been about a few months since we met in November, and there was a break in between the winter break, almost exactly actually 1 month since our schools opened after the winter break. So we wanted to update you on our regular academic dealings, where we are, what we have accomplished, and what's ahead of us. So our team is here to present a few slides. The agenda item was actually 90 due to the change in the on the dates. Some of the items were moved to the regular meetings. So two of our items were on experience and safety grounds in the regular agenda meeting. As well as we had a lengthy dashboard, California accountability performance indicators update, which is going to be covered by Mr. David Gilmar during regular board meeting. So we're expecting a shorter meeting today, unless you want to discuss and help us figure out our next steps. we'll keep it short and sweet. Couple of things that are not in the agenda that happened since we put this agenda back about 2 weeks ago. We actually finished our winter math testing. We test our students regularly two times in a year, spring and fall and spring. But our renewal schools and the schools we are closing, working closely, we test them in the winter as well. So that winter data we'll present to you in the upcoming academic updates. We're planning another one to the regular board. but the highlights from the results is that, you know, we're on the right track. Our students are gaining, meeting in the majority of their growth targets in reading and math. So we had a lengthy discussion and reflection on that. A couple other things that I wanted to remind, and we'll give you flyers as well. We'll be having our spring symposium, Magnolia Life Professional Learning, that is going to be on March 1st, MSA 8 Bell. All of the staff, including teachers, support staff, and we'll come together to learn and reflect and discuss next steps. So we'll have several presenters, including teachers and vendors from outside organizations. So you're invited to join us on March 1st at the MSA 8. The second flyer you'll be getting, we have the graph today, actually, our employee slide STEAM Expo, April 27th. We look forward to that. Our schools are having right now their own STEAM Expos. We'll be getting our students and projects ready for the long reach promotion center, April 27th. So in the upcoming months, in addition to these great events, we are going to open our testing season this month with LPAC, English Language Performance Test, and then we'll have our science state science test, physical fitness test, and we'll have our regular aspect ELA and that, so that we come in the upcoming months giving you heads up on that. So today in the agenda, we have a couple of celebrations. If you can move to the next slide. And I want to highlight those, what happened actually after the break. We had our new teachers training, our last and board round. Katie is going to cover a couple of highlights from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did host our new to MPS teacher training on January 10th. It was Friday of the first week. and we had about 14 teachers come, including four that traveled all the way from San Diego. So this year we increased how many times we were offering that, knowing that the turnover has happened and sometimes we're slow to hire. And often over winter break, we have new staff coming in. So we did offer that session. It was here. You can see some photos of us presenting with our teams there. Really trained everyone on what we call hashtag Magnolia Way to make sure that all of our new teachers started the semester knowing some friendly faces on the academic team and having some routines they could put in place for their classroom, for management, for social emotional development, supports for developing UDL skills for their students with disabilities, for English learners, really led them through kind of what the lesson planning process looks like to really make sure that they get off on the right foot working here at Magnolia and kind of understand all of our programs that we have in place. So that'll be our last one for this year, but we're hoping to continue next year. They've gotten better and better over the last 5 years or so as we've been offering them, and we've been offering them more and more frequently. So four is the most that we've ever done, but we get great feedback, and they're, we think, very helpful for our new teachers.
Thank you, Kate. Next set of pictures down below is from our math training, Jason.
Good evening.
I'm sorry, before we move on, I just wanted to add for the record minutes that Ms. Esra has joined us at.
Thank you. Sorry. Good evening, everyone. Tracy Lewin, Director of Math Programs. And so on the first day back, the pupil free day that we had on January 8th, we actually offered a math materials training to our elementary teachers. This was something that was asked for us. So we did a whole day training at the California Endowment Center for our elementary math teachers. This is in addition to the materials training that we've done throughout the year at the symposiums, but it really guided them through a standards deep dive so they could really dig deep into the math standards. We know our elementary teachers have so many standards they have to teach because they have all of the subjects that they're covering. So we really got to focus their time and attention on math that day. They dug deep into their standards. And then our trainer from HMH actually led them through how to align what they're doing with the standards to the materials and find resources to support their students, not only with the core instruction, but also with doing station activities and hands-on activities. So it was a really fun day of learning. It was very engaging. We really put their minds to work that first day back and really appreciated the engagement that we got from our elementary teachers and our elementary admin teams.
Thank you, Tracy. So our math materials, instruction materials, we newly continued increasing capacity with our teachers in the upcoming March 1 symposium. We are going to do more sessions on that. Next slide. These are our proud teachers, administrators, psychologists, paraprofessionals finishing our MTSS pathway. And we are proud recipient of multi-tiered system of support grant in California. We're one of the early adopters of the framework that inclusive all students. We are helping them grow in supporting them. So we are recognizing these teachers on their accomplishments. We want this go even longer. So we are actually kicking off a mentor and mentorship program. Now we are going to recruit some of those teachers to help others to finish the course and pathway. So expect seeing longer this next time. Next slide. This is another great moment that we are very proud of. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Callahan to cover what this grant is about.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar, and good evening, committee members. I'm Artis Callahan, the director of SPEB and Sports Services. Just for the record, I want you to know I was coming from Santa Monica. I had jury duty today, but I, you know, the A team, we like to be together. So, in conjunction with Dr. Olivares's team, we looked up some of the mental health grants and supports that they're putting into the schools now because everything has become I don't want to say a really, really bad word, but it's challenging is nice. I like that. The word I was thinking of was not challenging, but I appreciate that. Very nice word, because our kids are really, really struggling. Our families are struggling. We talked a lot about building our community and building the lineage between our schools and our families and building that connection. And we thought that being able to have a couple of family treatment centers but then Magnolia, one hopefully, well, two regionally located, right? One in the Valley, one in Santa Ana is our plan. So we wrote this grant in August. Our judge always does the budget. So he's, any grant we have, know he was a big part of it because he's really, really so good with numbers. And so we wrote the grant with the idea of opening those two centers, but yet training all of our psychologists and all of our social workers in family treatment there. That way, even if they don't have a center, they might be able to expand their reach to those kids and those families in the community, because a lot of our kids are becoming homeless. A lot of our kids are struggling with issues that are severely impacting their welfare. We literally lost a student a few weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and the student who found him was traumatized behind that, obviously. But the kid, I mean, it was a drug overdose, but we don't know exactly what's going on, but we do know there's a high level of need, much higher than we've ever had. So we're really, really happy to say that we did get this grant. And we're taking all of our mental health team that wanted to go to send to Atlanta this March 4th. We're going to take them for training. So everyone will be trained, and then we will determine who will actually man and run the two locations.
This is Diane. I have a question.
Yes.
What type of intervention going to be doing, and you know me, everyone, that I was thinking
about
that.
The therapy that we're using is, it's cognitive behavioral therapy,
okay,
but it's specific to family treatment there. So we're going to go into homes. We're doing it anyway,
right,
with our home visits, but some of the treatment will take place in the home, place in the center,
mm-hmm,
and some will take place at the school site.
Okay.
We also wrote into the grant that we would be willing to meet in a neutral location, but we want to do it with fidelity. And I'm glad you asked that question, because when we go to the conference, that's just the beginning of their training. So we've partnered with the organization, Family Center Treatment Organization, and they're going to come to our schools and train us. They're going to actually be, they have a mentor program where they are actually going to walk us through the process. And once the centers are open, and once they feel like we're ready to work with families and kids under, you know, under this therapeutic design, they are still going to stay with us and walk us through the actual process.
So they'll be working with you until you basically are on your feet and really able to do it on your own. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, will they, at a period of time, come in and check to make sure everything is okay with you, that you feel confident of what you're doing, or that somebody needs additional education on it?
Okay. Let me answer that, because we just met with them last week, and we asked those same questions. We didn't want to just have them drop us out there,
right,
and leave us. So they said it's generally a 3-year process before they start pulling back.
Okay.
So that's a significant amount of time, but they don't pull back until we have trainers. So they will have identified leaders who will take the reins and take over as the trainers before they start pulling back.
So it's train the trainer?
They're going to feel comfortable that they have two leaders who can continue the work. But they said that most of the people they've worked with, they've never severed the partnership completely. So they're always available. They're always willing to come. You know, we may have to pay them more money, but they're willing to come out and train, support, and do whatever they need to keep the program.
Very good. Glad to hear that.
So, question.
Yes.
So, is it two per center, or is it two, one for each center?
We're going to have more than two. They're just saying they want two leaders that they can train in order to train the rest of the staff.
But
so
2 liters per center or 2 liters?
2 liters overall.
Okay.
2 liters overall, but they are going to train everyone. So everyone should be an expert, even if they're not the ones that are chosen to do the training and to get certified as a trainer. Everyone should be able to hold their own before they start pulling back. And we're the first school park. So they're really excited. They're like, this is great that you guys are doing this on a school site.
So this is new for them to be working a school and then...
Through a school. But they have worked with families and they've worked with school children because they focus on the children, right? But they've always had to have their own center. They've never been welcomed into a school to actually do the work on a school campus.
It's always been off campus then.
Mm-hmm.
So being that you said that, are we comfortable, confident that they would know how to help us because
they were vetted by the state.
Okay.
And the state gave us a very, very short list of people
mm-hmm.
to vet on our own. So we did our research. Brian and I met with them. We met with two other organizations. This is the one that's the most comfortable in working with you. So we didn't want it to be, just your group that's going in just working with families or just, we wanted people that had expertise in working with children and whatever their concerns are and mentoring those kids. And trying to keep the families together is their goal, as opposed to the other two companies that were more focused on the therapeutic part of it, the psychosis. But this team, their whole modus operandi is to work with the families and keep them together. And we thought that was an alignment partnership.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Kellam. And Chris is also part of the team. Next slide. So our support the school teams doing the work together. We have had several oversight visits from our authorities. NACO finished their first round. State Board of Education finished their annual authorizer visits. Now we are starting our LAUSD site visits. So we just had our MSAA BAL visit. And it went very well. We are going to have three more site visits from LAUSD, starting in March 6 with the MSA 7 and 13 and 14 with MSA 4 and 6. So we continuously oversee the process and making sure that all the accountability and our story is communicated well with the school teams and prepare the schools for authorizing this. Another major support we are doing, and we started this after the pandemic, being visible to the school teams and in the classrooms as well. We continue our instruction rounds. We have a slide on this. So we want to make sure our instruction, curriculum, teaching is going well in the classes, so that goes really well when we do meet with the school teams together, reflect on the next step and the action planning, just like the plan to study act circle here. We reflect our practices and make sure we're in a continuous cycle. Next bullet point, I'm going to turn it over to Jason. Are you able to talk or? I know you joined.
He's driving.
Okay. So Jason is coming from MSAA. Actually, that was a grand meeting with Alfredo, our CEO. He's the director of our student services. We continue monitoring our school climate and culture. Attendance is a big part of it. I think it's a pretty slide.
Yeah.
It's brush. Okay. Um, So that requires the attendance meetings. We call them a SART meeting, school attendance review team. He closely monitors all disciplinary matters and PBIS, positive behavior intervention system, and provide crisis support. He does regular support to the teachers and the school administrators. So we have a couple of slides to give you data on the school climate. So that's part of our presentation. Next update is from our HILAC coordinator.
Andros Mills here, HILAC coordinator. This past winter intercession was the first time we had a collective winter intercession for most of our schools. And it's like 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, and Santa Ana all hosted a winter intercession ranging between 2 days to 2 weeks, where we were able to service about 495 students all together.
Thank you,
Andros.
Next slide.
Hey. Hi, Katie Mann, Director of EL and ELA programs. As you guys know, one of the main things that the academic team provides is professional learning and trainings for teachers, our administrators. So as we mentioned at the top of our presentation, we've had 4 new teacher orientations this year, 3 in first semester and 1 so far in second semester. Tracy and I have collaborated to create a collaborative learning PD. We've done part 1 and have now started following up with part 2 that we've presented at many of our schools to help boost student engagement. I've provided training on the EL Master Plan and the CHACS framework for all of our schools. That's an annual training that we provide. Tracy's led and I've led with her an educational partner-centered training PD for our CSEs and our PACE leaders at the school site, helping them create engaging professional development for their partners at the schools. Tracy's done a MAP tools training. I've provided training on content reading strategies for schools. We've done assessment analysis and standards workshops, and through our PLC program, our professional learning communities, we've completed 5 out of 7 of those. So once a month on generally the first Wednesday of the month, we have all of our teachers join department collaboration time on Zoom. So that's led by our TOSAs, as well as math for Tracy, and ELA is led by myself as well as a TOSA. So we have 2 more of those this year that we're really excited about. So it's a great process. And I'll have Tracy tell you about the rest.
Good evening, Tracy Lennon, Director of Math Programs. So we've had a lot of curriculum trainings this year. We've done our HMH math trainings, as we mentioned. They're coming in training in person at all of our symposiums. Again, they're coming in spring because we know how important that support is when we're rolling out new materials. We've had study sync trainings for our English teachers from the implementation specialists. So again, high quality professional learning for them, as well as individual site support so that he's hands-on in the classroom with some of the teachers, observing and giving feedback and coaching. We've been able to provide NGSS science standards training with our partners at LACO. So again, supporting our science teachers in learning their standards and implementing them with fidelity. The whole team works monthly to present for our principals, our academic leads, our student services, so that we can provide them professional learning and updates and support. Our wonderful SPED team are doing weekly trainings, SPED 101, so that our new SPED teachers are really supported and know their roles. And then Jason has been doing nonviolent crisis intervention and CPI trainings to help with behaviors and supports at the school sites. And there's lots more, but that was just kind of a general list of some of the big ones that happened this year.
Next slide.
Hello, first of all, the special programs coordinator. We've been very, very busy this year, and we've accomplished a lot in the first semester, I think. One of the things that we completed was our fall 1 top trials. And we work together with the accountability team to ensure all of our data, to ensure that all of our data was submitted without errors, so that we can get certified by our SELPA, by our state. And I think we were like the only CMO that on time was certified with no errors. So it is really a collaborative effort between myself, Jennifer Hook on the accountability team, and the site coordinators, I should say. Our parent podcast. I know Artist has been really leading that that project. We completed our first parent podcast with the Impact Grant Funding, and I think we're requesting, we have an interview to request
more
to ask for more funding to complete the rest of those podcasts. And then I share compliance reports with our SPED coordinators and our admin team for SPED to ensure we're meeting all of our timelines. Completing our services and ensuring that we're documenting everything that we're doing, fidelity and ensuring that all of that is done. And then we're still undergoing gate testing. We're almost done with it. I think one school left to finish gate testing, but our gate testing has increased approximately 6% this year. And as of January, 222 students are identified as gate.
Okay. And as you all know, we're monitored by the state, and they used to have 11 areas, went down to 8. Now they're using 4 areas now to determine if we are in disproportionality. I'm happy to say we have no new disproportionality. We are still working to get out of significant dispros for MSA 1 and MSA 5. And then we have a random school that was selected. That was MSA 6. So we're still doing turning in the documents, but they're not out of compliance. They're just randomly selecting some of the smaller schools. And the reason for that is they would never know that MSA 4 or MSA 6 were in SIG dis or disproportionality or targeted school based on their numbers. So if you have less than 100 students or just around 100 students, they just randomly select. So we got lucky. MSA 6 has been a part of the process as well. San Diego and MSA 2 were on the verge of becoming significantly disproportionate, but we did a lot of targeted intervention, and they were not determined SIG dis this past November. So that was a major win to them. And then, as you know, our reintegration policy that you all approved last year, we've been using it to help our students with IEPs become reintegrated into the general ed population completely. And we've transitioned 36 students, and we're real happy about that. Those kids are still being monitored for 2 years. We haven't seen any regression so far, but if we do, then we will provide intervention and support those kids. We're able to, I'm gonna give San Diego some credit for this, though, because Megan Craig suggested that we do a parent enrichment handbook so that parents would have places to go in California to take their kids who are identified as gifted. And we're going to give it to all the parents because all kids will benefit from these activities. We found 30 activities that are, most of them are free. I think one of them cost, but it wasn't a lot, you know, and it was, I think, one where they could get like discounted tickets for it. But everything else was free, and it's throughout California. So take a look at the resource if you guys want to see it. It's set up where they know where they're going, why it's going to be important or fun, what to look for when they get there. And it has the link so they can just click on it and get the information. And then we have a gate resource guide. Yay, finally. And I'm only blaming myself because that took a lot from me because I used to be a gate teacher. And that's not something that is easy to put on paper or to figure out how do you help a school that's already seeing that's already doing so many wonderful things. How do we, and when we already have IXL where kids can do enrichment activities and they can get remediation through our instructional programs, but then what do we do on top of that? So there, this handbook has a lot of resources for all grade levels. We did not leave out the littles because we knew that the principals of the elementary schools were strongly advocating for gate activities for the kids. So that's it.
Yes, ma'am. Ministry handbook, what are you looking at?
Well, do you want to click on it? Let's click on it. Let's just look at it.
We only have time.
Oh, we don't have time.
Yeah. So kind of a little bit.
The parent guide is in there.
Okay.
There's a section on the national, I knew I was going to mess this
national
up.
National Association of Teacher Children.
Thank you. See, I love Crystal. Right in my head. So we went to one of their conferences and we aggressively borrowed a lot of their resources. So those are in the manual. But we also went and found activities, lesson plans. So there's a section where there are lesson plans for all grade levels in the four areas that we targeted, which I really can't say off the top of my head. But one is like humanities, and I know we had social justice, and we had literature, and we had, I think, STEAM is, yeah. So we have the lessons, we have a lot of different activities, we have the resources for the state and the nation, and we have the gifted standards so that they'll be able to align them. Even though they're not a requirement for our regular curriculum, at least it can help them guide their learning and their teaching. So when you get a chance, look at it. If you have any questions, just
text me. So for the programs you mentioned in IXL, is there also guidance for the teachers on how to use
differentiating?
Yeah.
Yes. We're doing, so I know I did a PD on differentiation at one of our schools last week. I know that Katie and Tracy are constantly doing PDs. I'm doing one at MSA 6 next week. We're constantly teaching and reviewing strategies. We do make and takes on how to differentiate. What are some of the things that that you can have in place for the child that gets finished quickly? What enrichment activities are already in place that build on the basic skills that you've already taught them? So it should be in there. Go ahead. Sorry.
So how do you get that feedback to make sure that staff is applying what you guys are offering?
We do have surveys for the PDs, and we go in, we do the instructional rounds, we have look fors. The schools get to select what they're looking for, but we definitely give them a lot of feedback on, you know, how to make it more engaging. I think that I want to give you an example. We have been, I'm going to use Katie, and I'm going to use a situation at 7. We have been talking a lot about how to improve the actual academic rigor and access for these kids. How are these kids going to do better in school? That's what we're here for. And it was the principal. It was like, we're doing everything we can. It's not working. But she asked Katie, what am I doing wrong? Katie looked at her qualitative data and realized they didn't, because of room, I know they have a smaller school, but it's very difficult for them to do station rotations.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do station rotations, kids are not singled out as you're the kid with the IEP or you're the kid that's behind. Every child gets to rotate to the paraprofessional, the co-teacher, the teacher, and the center, and then the individual activity that they're doing independently. They're able to do that and learn in all the different modalities.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that's a key factor in differentiation. Showing kids more than one way to learn and letting them show you what they know more than one way will make all the difference.
Okay, so I kind of have a request. Is there a way in our next principal meeting we can ask the principals if they can come up with some type of question so that we can get a survey together to see if the programs that we're offering our students are working for the students, not just for the teachers, please. I know some programs make it easier for the teachers, but some students are struggling in certain aspects of those programs. If you guys can help us with that.
You want the feedback coming from principals or do you want it from students? Because we do have student surveys as well.
When you say student surveys, are they asking about the programs or are they asking overall?
We do ask overall, and we do ask about their academic experience as well. And there is an open-ended questions that.
Because the questions I've seen in the surveys that you guys have provided, because I do read them, it's not.
Right.
I accept. Just all the programs.
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about.
We do have other. Right now, we are partnered with an organization called Calvin. It's a quick survey getting from all staff, teachers, students. So this is at the moment instant quick survey. So I'm gonna have Jason design, and
okay.
We can get that feedback from them directly on specific programs. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I like again, I want to make sure that the programs are working for the students, that's what, not just for the staff. Like I said,
you know,
a lot of programs that we do have, it makes the teachers work easier, you know. But is it beneficial for our students?
Well, and I would like to make it. I mean, whenever we have a process called reading instructional programs. So we don't just see the shiny thing and bring it.
No, I know.
Or
I know.
So there is a reading process that we identify the need, and the need always comes from student needs. So
yeah.
I mean, at every moment that whenever we decide on a program protocol, the very first thing is that is this going to benefit the students? So definitely there are tools for teachers to help them in what they do better. IXL is a program that helps with skill building, and we've been providing training and support for the past 3 years. So this is our third year of implementation of IXL. there are instances that because we have a circulation with the teachers coming and going, some teachers, find it easy to open the Chromebook and then have students do the work than actually teaching. So
okay.
There may be instances that may come to your way that way. We recently talked about that today regarding mechanics as well. We reiterated the use of IXL.
Okay.
And we are, our recommendation for IXL is no more than 10 minutes in a regular classroom for skill building purposes. So so we do close monitor that because we do have data to back it up, and we can get the teacher level as well. But I mean, yes, you can get the feedback from students on
please
programs, yes.
I mean, that's my biggest thing. The students' voices.
We have about 3 minutes left, so two.
We'll go quickly through Inspector Rouse updates. Katie, beginning.
Katie Mann, Director of EL and ELA programs again. We've shared with you a lot over the last 18 months about our instructional rounds, so I just want to give some highlights of things new since we spoke in November. We have completed round one and round two for all 10 of our schools. Round three starts in 2 weeks, and that will be our check-in number two of the year, where we're going to provide the final feedback, really look at how our schools have done meeting their instructional goals, and what any final support they need for authorizer visits. Some of them will coincide with those authorizer visits as well. And close that final feedback loop so that schools have next steps as they're beginning to plan for the next school year. We've created a lot of new templates and resources that we've developed in support with our schools. And the best thing about those instructional rounds that has since changed
Russell, next slide, please.
Is that we now have our school leaders really taking ownership of that process. They are making the agenda for the day. They are leading the discussions and the, identifying the look-fors and leading those debriefs, setting the goals for the next round. So we've really kind of taken those scaffolds away.
Sorry for interrupting again. Just letting everyone know for minutes purposes that Ezra Eldum is here in person at 6:29. Welcome.
Thanks for joining us, Ms. Allen. Next slide, we'll turn our newly team member, college career coordinator.
Next slide, please. Hi, everyone. My name is Fatma Ganda. I'm the college aid career coordinator. Just a quick snapshot of all the data. For the moment, I'm happy to say we have three new colleges that we are partnered with and continue partnering with Ellie Valley, Valley College and Santa Ana College. I'm happy to say 95% of our classes are in person, which is great. So that the teacher comes in and do in-person teaching. And the enrollment has gone up 57% since 2022, which is great. And you can see the numbers up there. Total of 3,452 college credit has our students have gotten in total. That doesn't include the fall 2023. That should be 23. I apologize for that. And for spring 2023, again, it was supposed to be spring 2024, we have in total of 15 courses, including the courses that is presented up there, anthropology, sociology, health, and etc. The college application season has passed, and I'm happy to announce that we have over 1,600 college applications, including CSU, UCs, and privates. We are currently working on FAFSA and DACA application for our students. Our college counselors are working closely with our parents and students to make sure that we have 100% submission rate. Although there are some new changes on the FAFSA, we are trying to work around that, making sure that our parents have support. So we ask the colleges to come and help our students as well. In addition to that, for college alumni success program, all of our schools, six school high schools, have our college alumni success coordinators together saddle on the program on our alumni to make sure that we are giving out all the resources even though they graduated. So we are continuing supporting our alumni.
Thank you, Fatima. Next slide is our school climate culture and we'll conclude with attendance. Again, since pandemic, the attendance has been the issue for all the nation schools, including California. The population that we serve, socioeconomic disadvantage, has been impacted the most. But I'm glad to report we have had this data table for you in November as well, that we are trending up. If you look at the last column and compare it with the 22-23, our P1 attendance is actually up 93.30%. Chronic absenteeism, I have another slide for this, is a major, major issue for all researchers nowadays. Finally, we need to address chronic absenteeism. They show up in the classes. We're trending down, which is a good thing for chronic absenteeism, but still at a higher rate than before pandemic. So I want to capture that 20.1%, less than the 22-23%. And also less than the state average right now, the chronic absenteeism. The SARC meetings, as a result of attendance, that we are holding meetings with the parents and the students, are down as well, 23. This is the mid-year, but we're hoping it's going to not going to go a lot high. And water removal due to SART is also 7 as of now. Next slide. This is the attendance again compared to our authorizers and the state. You can see the chronic absenteeism. Again, this is 22-22 data that we are a little bit higher than the state, pretty close to NACO, lower than NAUSD, and San Ana and San Diego is almost there. Next slide. This is a chronic absenteeism assessment altogether in the last 2 years. Again, as I said, we are trending down in the chronic absenteeism and also the suspension rate. We're watching closely. 23-24 data is lower than 22-23. We'll have an update on the current suspension on the next slide. Next slide, Russell. So right now the suspension is 46, and the comparison from the previous year is that you're trending down in the middle of the year. And the other means of correction avoid suspension is also lower than previous year. Unfortunately, report that we have one expulsion so far. Next slide. We welcome our visitors, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Questions, comments from the board members and department? Thank you.
There's any questions before the committee discusses the item from the public? Anyone on the line? If there's no public comments, committee members, do you have any questions?
No.
Is there anything else you want to say before we adjourn the meeting? Would you like to adjourn the meeting?
I'd like to adjourn our meeting for February for the academic committee, and it is 6:36 on February 28th.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Also, we thought that we finished our academic